us on the Lord's Supper, and the rest of this service is going to do that. Because you see, the Bible says that the first century church came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And because it is our desire to be exactly like that church, that's why we're here this day. They came together to break bread, and we have come together to break bread. And even though the great apostle Paul was there, Paul preached, but that's not why they came together. The Bible says they came together to think about what this feast was all about. We've done the other acts of worship that he wants us to do this day. We've prayed, and we've sung, and we shall sing more in this service. We've given. We've talked about his word, even as we shall continue to do so. And we now come to the central focus of New Testament worship. We have brought into this service a compilation of the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to remind us of all that he gave for us. Let us turn our attention and focus for the rest of this service. We want to walk with Jesus through the last weeks of his life, through the last days, the last hours, and the last minute. And then we shall have the sharing of this feast together. Jesus knew he was going to die. There was reality to it. He knew he was going to die an unbelievably horrible death. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples and began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and that he must go to Jerusalem and be rejected and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed and to raise the third day. He spoke this word openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." When he turned around and he looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Brethren, may we be mindful of the things of God. Jesus knew the importance of focusing on his death, the very thing that we're doing. Listen to his words to his disciples about letting these events sink deeply into our ears, into our inner being, into our very soul, while we worship him who is a spirit, while we worship him with our spirit, with our soul. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "Let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Jesus described the wretched death which lay before him. Jesus, as he was going to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and insult him and scourge him and spit on him and crucify him. And the third day he'll rise again." Now remember that he told his disciples to let these words sink deeply into their ears. And that's what we're to do. May we never forget this. As you meditate on these matters, one question comes to your mind again and again and again. Why? Why would God send him? Why? Why would he endure all of these things? There's only one answer. Let us answer it from the depths of our souls. as we sing together.
Did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so.
The truth is that Jesus knew beforehand the details of all that he was to endure. He knew who would betray him. Have I not chosen one of you, and yet one of you has a devil? Jesus knew not only the betrayer, he knew all the details of that betrayal. And so he said, when Jesus had said these things, as they sat and ate, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one of you who eats with me. Behold, the hand of the betrayer is with me on this table." The disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spake, and they were exceedingly sorrowful, and they began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "It's one of the 12. He who dipped his hand with me in this dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. It is to him to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You've said it." Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said, "What you do, do quickly." He not only knew the betrayer, he knew what every one of them would do. He knew that all of them would forsake him and gave specific details of their actions, especially of Peter. Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. It is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I've been raised, I will go to Galilee." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you've returned to me, strengthen the brethren." But he said to them, to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times, deny that you know me. Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you've denied me three times." Peter spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. They meant it when they spoke of their love for him. But what he faced, he faced alone, all alone, even as these men were asleep.
Tis midnight and
But before he went to Galilee, he ordained this feast for us. He promised to be with us as we eat of it. Now imagine him passing this bread and the cup to them. Then, later in this service, imagining him handing this bread and this cup to you, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood," and inviting you to eat of it. The Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the kingdom of God," my Father's kingdom. And they all drank of it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11 that as they shared in that bread and that fruit of the vine, even so do we, discerning the Lord's body. Leaving that upper room, he went to Gethsemane to pray. Coming out, he went with his disciples as he was accustomed over the brook Kidron to the Mount of Olives, where there was a garden named Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful, troubled, and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He went a little farther and knelt down and fell on the ground and fell on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass for him. And he said, "Abba, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. All things are possible for you. If it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer, and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and prayed and spoke the same words, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. He came to his disciple the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand."
Night with ebon
this story too well. But as we this morning in a very special way try to remember what it was like, let these words sink down deeply into your soul. And as these words chosen by God and given to us, describe these events. Try to imagine what it would have been like witnessing these things as they were happening. They were eyewitnesses, those who partook of this feast in which we shall share. They could vividly recall every detail. While we were not there, we too need to recall these events. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place. Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came with lanterns and torches and weapons. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests of the people. Jesus, therefore, knowing who would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, stood with them. Now when he had said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, 'Of those you gave me, I've lost none.'" Now the betrayer had given a sign saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." And Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And as soon as he had come, immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. While those around him saw what was going on, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike them with the sword?" And suddenly Peter reached out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered, saying, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Or do you not think that I now can pray to my Father, and he'll provide me more than 12 legions of angels?" But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? In that hour Jesus said to the multitude, to the chief priests and the captains of the temples and the elders who were come to him, "Have you come out against me as a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple, and you did not seize me there. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then his disciples forsook him and fled. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the chief officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. They bound my Lord and led him to a trial of mockery. His first trial was before Annas.
The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas, sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
He was then taken to Caiaphas to be mocked again. His humiliation was even greater, as was his suffering.
They led Jesus away to Caiaphas, the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. But at last two false witnesses came forward and bore false witness against him, saying, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and with 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest arose, stood in the midst, and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said, I am. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?' They answered and said, 'He is deserving of death.' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him. Then they spat in his face and beat him. And having blindfolded him, others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?' And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands, and many other things they blasphemously spoke against him."
Time does not permit us to tell about Peter's denial, but let your mind recall those three times Peter denied him. Peter, who said, "Thou art the Christ." Peter, who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Peter, who said, "Though all these men deny you, I will never deny you." Peter now curses and swears, denying he knows him. After Gethsemane, after the trial before Annas and Caiaphas, he was taken at the break of the day to appear before the highest Jewish tribunal, the Sanhedrin.
When morning came, as soon as it was day, immediately the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council and plotted against Jesus to put him to death, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude of them arose. And when they had bound him, they led Jesus to Caiaphas, to the praetorium, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early morning.
He had to be taken to Pilate because the Romans never gave the Jews the right to put a man to death. He was marched through the streets to appear before Pilate. Pilate went out to them, "What accusation do you bring against this man?"
They answered and said to him, "If he were an evildoer, we would have not delivered him up to you." Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your own law." Therefore the Jews said, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled when he spoke, signifying what death it would come." And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said, "It is as you say. Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did some other tell you concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would not fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate answered, "Are you a king then?" Jesus said, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who hears, who's of the truth, hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, to the chief priest and the crowd, "I find no fault with this man at all. The chief priest and elders accused him of many things, but he answered nothing." Then Pilate asked him again, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus answered nothing, not a word. So that Pilate, the governor, marveled greatly, but they were the more fierce. He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Now, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked the man if he were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. Herod hoped to see Jesus perform a miracle. Before Herod, Jesus was treated with contempt and mocked as he wore the regal robe of the Jewish king Herod. He then was sent back before Pilate the second time. You know the story. You know how spineless Pilate brought Barabbas, a criminal, a murderer, before that mob. When they demanded Barabbas, he asked of them, "What shall I do with this man, Jesus?" And in your mind and imagination, hear the courtyard fill with that mob crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and clothed him with purple. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knees before him and mocked him and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took that reed and struck him on the head and spat on him. And bowing the knees, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off, put on his own clothes, and led him out to be crucified. We know the story too well. But let our hearts join together as we sing about it.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the straits and shame. They spat on the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." They placed a crown of thorns.
And leaving Pilate's hall, he was led outside the city. That city, which was once called by God the Holy City. And there they crucified him.
When they had mocked him, when they had taken the purple robe off of him, and put his own clothes on him, they led him away to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away, he bearing his cross. And they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by. Him they compelled to bear his cross, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that have never borne, breasts that have never nursed.' They will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink.
He refused the gall. Do you know why? When gall is taken, the effect is to stupefy the senses. It was often given to those who were crucified to render them insensible to the pains of death. He died for me. He died for you. And he endured this agony to the fullest measure. Take just a moment of silence and think about him refusing the gall that he might suffer for me and you. The most moving part of his death are the seven words he spoke from the cross. Listen to his words. Meditate on every one of them. What better way is there to eat this feast than to reflect on what he said from his heart? And that was the third hour when they crucified him. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Greek says, he kept on saying again and again, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then the soldiers who were crucified with Jesus took his garments and made four parts to each soldier a part. They divided his garments, casting lots to determine whatever man's part should be. And also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them, my clothing they cast lots.'" Therefore the soldiers did these things. And sitting down, they watched over him. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and they put it over his head, this inscription of his accusation. It was written, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You remember the controversy that that title caused. Those people looked on, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest saying, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the Son, the chosen of God. If he is the King of the Jews, let him come down from the cross and we will believe. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he'll have him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" The soldiers mocked him, and coming, offered him sour wine, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." Even the robbers were crucified with him, reviled him with the same thing. One of the criminals who was hanging blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself." But the other said, rebuked him, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we've received the due reward of our deeds, but this man's done nothing." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mothers and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to the mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took him to his own home.
When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hail of Calvary I call, to thy seat of fear and woe.
These words were spoken in the first 3 hours Jesus was on the cross. Now hear the other words he spoke in those last 3 hours. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the whole land. Then the sun was darkened. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is being interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." A vessel of sour wine was sitting there. Immediately one of them ran and took the sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and put it to his mouth, offering it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and take him down to save him. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, saying, "It is finished." And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, bowing his head, he yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the grave after his resurrection went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion who stood opposite him guarding Jesus saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last word, he saw the earthquake and the things that happened, the centurion glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." So the centurion and those who were with him feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now let us sing this final song before we commune together. After this song, we shall have the Lord's Supper. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold my son." They struck him as for water, but they gave him none to drink. And in that upper room, he passed the bread from hand to hand and the cup from hand to hand, saying, This is my body, this is my blood. I try to imagine what it would have been like to have been Peter or James or John. The first time when the church assembled and somebody handed them the bread. And echoing in the remembrance of Peter was the time Jesus handed him the bread and said, "This is my body." Jesus is with us this morning as we eat this bread. May we remember his body. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the cross and for the body of Jesus that was given in order that heaven might be ours. Father, when we examine ourselves, there's so much that we do not like when we look into ourselves. But help us because of the way heaven looks at us and because of this bread that was given, his body given for us. May we see ourselves cleansed by your very grace. We thank you, Father, so much for this bread and what it brings to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. I thirst. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. It is finished. And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this cup. And may we see within it the blood of the new covenant shed for the remission of our sins. And as we, Father, drink this cup, may we let these words we've heard this day sink deeply into our souls, that we may see the preciousness and the sacredness of what we're doing. In Jesus' name.
We're going to sing the last verse of number 752, and as we get ready to leave here, there's that part of the Lord's Supper that we continue to proclaim, even as we leave here, as it's impacted in our daily lives.